So we're about to go through our review for the social cognition section of Unit 4. We're going to start with question number one. List the five core functions of thinking, and Morgan's answer is?
To describe, elaborate, decide, plan, and guide action.
Okay. And that's an exam question, correct?
Yes.
Question two. What are mental manipulations, and how do we use them, Tyson?
Mental manipulations are the things our brain use to help us go get through everyday life. Like, if we see something that we've gone through a billion times, we'll just go into autopilot, like going through the supermarket. You know what to do.
Yeah. It doesn't require a lot of brain energy. It happens very efficiently. Okay, they're shortcuts. Okay, question three. Define social cognition in your own words, Wiley.
It's like, through our experiences, you create scripts and the cognitive maps and stuff to help us, our mind, kind of
okay.
get through stuff.
Yeah. So in our day-to-day environment, the things we encounter day-to-day, these are the different types of shortcuts our brain has collected to help us easily filter through those experiences. And like Tyson said, just kind of go on automatic processing, right?
Autopilot.
Okay, good. Question number four, Rachel took number four. Schemas, heuristics, and scripts. How are these examples of the brain being lazy, Rachel?
Our brain takes shortcuts to reduce the need for extra thinking. Because of these shortcuts, we will often miss important things and details in our environment or situation.
Yeah.
An example is the bear passing through the back of the basketball court. We were only focused on the number of passes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was information directly in front of your senses, but because your brain was focused on one thing, it disregarded what it didn't think was necessary to pay attention to. Okay. Question number five, nobody selected, so we can figure that one out together. Explain how an individual functions using schemas. How do schemas help us? Again, remember, schemas are your folders of all of your understanding, your learning, your memories, right? And they are the filters, right? The shortcuts. So how does this help us on a day-to-day basis?
It helps us not use as much brain power.
Yeah, it does the work for us, right? We don't have to think the method of how to get our binder from the locker every day at the end of every class, because our brain it's experienced that enough. It just does it on autopilot. We don't have to use energy, mental energy for it. It doesn't take us a lot of time to figure it out, right? So we can do it very efficiently and just kind of move along through the day very easily. Question six, can you give a new example of the development of a schema concept going from very simple to complex? So our first example that we talked about in our section here was the concept of what a horse is. So a child's definition of what a horse is and isn't would start out very small, very simple. Four legs, tall, long head maybe, tail. Give me another example of a concept where a child's schema starts out very simple but becomes more complex throughout time.
Right?
Who their parents are. That actually, you kind of snicker, but that's true, because kids will walk up to other people, like a three-year-old, not recognizing it and just go, mommy, right? Tap them, they'll walk up behind somebody, and all they see are the legs, the body, right? So who their parents are doesn't take long to figure out, but yes, that works. Rachel, what was the one you were going to give?
Classroom.
How so?
I don't know, like, maybe like at first they just recognize.
Yeah, or the types of classroom, science lab, library, that kind of stuff. Jadelyn?
Sports.
Okay, how so?
Like if there's a kid and they're watching volleyball, all they see is like the volleyball goes over the net, back over, and then once you get older and start playing it, you know the specifics of it.
Yep, so. There's rules, there's reasons why the ref calls things, all that stuff. Another great example would be math. Think how simple your math experiences start off. 1 + 1, 1 + 2, 1 + 3, and eventually you develop those things and you increase the complexity of what you understand of math and move on to algebra and things like that, right? Okay? So those are examples, yes, yay, of your developing schema concept. Question 7, when interpreting social surroundings using schemas, there's 3 ways that you can take new information and add it to what you already understand or have in your knowledge warehouse. So the first way you can take new information and add it is by what? The new information adds to the old information easily, right? That's equilibrium. The two add up. Okay, another method is the old information is completely contrary to the new idea. So you have to accommodate or change. Okay? And then the third way is the new information is somewhat different than the old information. So to make those two ideas fit together, you have to
modify.
Yeah, or assimilate. Thanks, Jenna. Okay, question number 8. Give me an example and a definition of a type of schema, Sarah.
Scripts or role schema. So, for example, if a doctor asked you to do something, you understand their role, so you do it for them, but you wouldn't just do it for any ordinary person.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Or like a gas attendant, right? Somebody walking, running up to you when you've parked your car. In a parking lot, that would cause alarm. In a gas station lot, you expect it. You understand what they're doing there, okay? So that's an example. The other types of schemas we had were self schema, role. You had role schema, person schema. So there's types of personalities or people out there, and then the scripts. Number 9, list 4 pros and cons of using schemas. Jenna.
For a pro, it saves brain energy,
okay,
and it reduces the information our brain takes in.
Yes.
And for cons, we don't notice everything, and it's hard to change once it's developed.
Yes, yeah. Once you've made up your mind about something, it is very difficult to make that change. Question number 10, what's the difference in a schema functioning consciously versus unconsciously? And give us some examples, Jaylen.
I have when a schema functions consciously, it's when you have to really think about what you're seeing you're doing,
mm-hmm,
and like your answers can be really slow,
mm-hmm,
and you have to control your answers, whereas unconscious schemas can happen fast and your answers happen immediately,
mm-hmm,
and it can be a best guess, and then examples can be when you were doing like guessing the color on the word thing,
yeah,
when there's a word with a different color, like red with yellow on it,
yes,
you might get the wrong answer because you're using your conscious schema.
Exactly, yeah, well, that's an excellent answer. Okay, that was really good, very thorough. 2 stars for Jaylen. Question 11, give me an example, Jessica, of a conscious schema experiment and then an unconscious schema experiment.
A conscious schema experiment was like when we did the color test where the words and the colors that were on the words did not match up. So mm-hmm, you actually had to use your brain to try and like make sure you didn't mess it up because the yellow would have be colored red,
yeah,
so you could get confused.
And what evidence did we have that it was slower processing of the brain?
When you timed it, you,
yes,
could tell that it was way slower to do that,
yes,
and people,
okay,
messed up more.
Yeah, okay. And then automatic?
An unconscious schema experiment is when you picked any random letters and you picked ones that were more likely to your name just because of, like, you use them more.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, great. Question 10, give me your own definition of a heuristic and how it is used. Brody Yelich.
Heuristics is like how you judge and your assumptions that are based on experience, like an educated guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like which causes more deaths in the year, shark attacks or getting hit by fallen airplane debris.
Okay. So in one word, a definition could be your guesstimate, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a guess and an estimate. The information is not really relying on very valid information, just your background information, okay? Braden, give me 2 types of heuristics.
Experience and cognitive bias.
Rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Availability. Yeah, rule of thumb is one. Just the more often. Do you want to keep going? Somebody else? Like mere exposure effect. the easier an answer comes to mind, the more you're likely to think that's the proper answer. Like that shark attacks happen more often, that likelihood comes to mind more often because you've heard of it more often. Okay, that's one. And a second would be anchor and adjust. You make your decisions based on an initial judgment, and as the circumstances adjust or change, you adjust your decision with it. Okay? And then the last question here for Kalina, how do script schemas help us function socially? And give me an example.
Like they save mental energy, so it makes it like you know what like behavior happens in what circumstances, and so like you don't have to think about it as much. And mm-hmm. So like if you're going to go order food from like a restaurant, yep. Like if you have a script for it, then you know how to do it.
Yep,
but exactly. If you didn't have a script, you'd have to think about it.
Perfect. So here's an example. How many of you have been in the new DLC building? You went today. Okay. If I had asked you to go and talk to a teacher in that building before you'd enter the building, would you have felt as comfortable walking through the doors?
Yeah.
Some people say no. Morgan?
Most don't
yeah, you don't know where you don't know where your person is in the building. You don't know if you're allowed to just walk through the door. Where are the stairwell? Where's the stairs, right? So there are things that are unfamiliar to you, so your brain has to process those things. Versus getting off the bus every morning, you're probably half asleep still, some of you, but you still get your body to your locker. That's script, okay? Okay, now, I think this is very positive because the ease of your ability to answer these questions is really great. So this was a heavy section in Unit 4, but I think you all understand it really well, so give yourself a hypothetical high five. Yay! Okay.